anger is an arrow. Anger is an arrow. What you resist persists. Anger is an arrow. Anger points me to, it points me to the real thing. Anger is a, you've probably heard this if you spend any time in a rehab. Anger is a secondary emotion. What are you feeling? We sat down with local aspiring somebody to talk about feelings. What are you feeling? Well, I'm angry. Oh, that's a secondary emotion. What are you really? What's really going on? Let's talk about that. Let's go a little deeper. Oh, that sounds like fun. Yeah. Let's do that. Let's go a little deeper. Sounds great.
Trying to make you do something you don't wanna. I'm just trying to break us free from this bondage, from all of this drama. It's in my DNA, girl, there's no one to blame. It's still you call me everything but my name, including insane, crazy, and high. Don't ask me that question, girl, you know we'll get by. It's as simple as love, babe, we just need to try. Don't worry about them, cause it's just you and I. She simply said no, label me a hoe. What? I said, how you figure? She slammed the front door on my nose.
Why do I do these things I do?
Girl, I gotta get my clothes.
When I'm with you, I never feel alone.
Open the door.
The sun is shining, we can start brand new. Why do I do these things I do?
Do they get it from the mama? Or do they get it from the dad? Or do they get it from the mama?
Or
do they get it from the dad? Do you get it from their mama? Or do you get it from their dad? Or do you get it from their mama? Or do you get it from their dad?
Boys, Chromazone, the Mansion Boys. I think that's my jam, man. Why do I do these things I do? When I'm with you, I never feel alone. Sun is shining, we could start brand new. Chromazone. It's in my DNA, girl, there's no one to blame. I don't know. Speaking to the affliction of addiction, genetically predispositioned. What you resist persists. Can I just be real? I got an anger problem. It's not what it used to be. Okay. It's not what it used to be, but I can become overwhelmed by the emotion anger. It gets on me like the equivalent to smoke from an outdoor fire, right? When you stand around a campfire, you know, and that smoke blows on you and you're like, gets in your clothes and it gets in your hair and it's like, can't get rid of it. You gotta take a shower. You gotta wash it off. Some sort of process has to happen to get rid of it. And I got that. That's that thing. That's that thing I got, you know? And so that's why I love this saying, anger is an arrow. It's pointing to something. And for me, it's probably pointing to some character defect or false belief, something within me that's, you know, some need that's not being met, some desire that's not being fulfilled. And so I react, I become angry. And people don't like that. People don't like the angry me. I become boisterous, monstrous, demonstrous, denice. I think it really comes from that, like I said, you know, that person that I built up, that character, Christian, that character, like in the Mansion Boys, I had that character, Cregan Jenkin. I became that name Cregan Jenkin, because my friend at the time, still my friend, haven't talked to him in a long time, said, man, your name ain't Christian Jansen, you Cregan Jenkin. Because he seen me in Vegas. Back in the day. So he called me Cregan Jenkin. I said, oh yeah, that's it. And so I created that character, Cregan Jenkin. And in my addiction, my drug-induced, psychosis, reality, I thought I was Cregan. I believed I was Cregan Jenkin. I thought I was. And it's kind of same thing here, right? I think I am these things, this person that does these things. I pulled a video from my boy, Baba Ram Dass. I'd like to share that. I think he kind of puts this into better terms. So check it out.
It takes us a long time, many of us more longer than others, to come up out of the darkness of our feelings of unworthiness, of unlovableness, of allowing that liquidity to happen, of feeling safe to be in the presence of love. When I first experienced my guru loving me, my mind kept flickering with the thoughts of, if he only knew. And then I realized that he did know. And he was still loving me. And it took me through the dot, 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 dot. And whatever you are, however you are at this moment, when you can accept that you are lovable, then the fear starts to dissolve. It's allowing your own beauty. It's allowing the beauty of your soul, which is behind your personality. It's behind all that stuff. Just another radiant bit of light, another soul. And I think at this moment, it's nothing violent to do. You just observe the kind of sadness, the feeling of loneliness, the feeling of separateness, the feeling of pain. You just watch it and allow it. And don't get too fierce about it. Don't feel too deprived about it. And don't milk the self-pity of it. you know, just notice that it's just a passing show. It's just another place your mind is grabbing. It's all mind. You realize that. The only thing you're stuck in is not even history. It's just mind. It's a model you have of who you think you are and who you think everybody else is. That's all it is. That's exactly what's causing your suffering at this moment, is your own thought forms. And you're clinging to them and saying, this is real. It's like somebody who sees a rope and they think it's a snake and they get frightened. And then somebody says, it's just a rope. And then suddenly they're not frightened anymore. And it's as simple as that. It really is the mind. And that's finally why you're driven to work on your mind, to quiet your mind. Because you see the way your personality is really just a series of thoughts that you keep investing. Like the first moment you felt the sadness or the loneliness or the emptiness or the pain, that started a whole track of, oh, this is like I've always felt in the past, and you started to build the whole storyline all over again. And it's at that moment, it's just, ah, sadness. Oh, yes. Comes and goes. Because I would say that most people in this room, if you scratch the surface, you will find some residual unworthiness. From just having grown up on Earth. I mean, it's interesting because you don't understand that the personality itself is rooted in fear and vulnerability. That's where the root is of it. Because you go from being, can you imagine being the baby that is everything in the universe to starting to be this little vulnerable tiny thing? And the first time you realize there are big forces and you're not them, how incredibly inadequate one must feel, if you could give words to it. And every one of us has been through that moment. And for most of us, it's buried so deeply, we can never get hold of it.
Yeah. That doesn't make sense, right? That's what I'm saying, like, when I was a child, I had yet to build in that shame, that guilt. That shame and that guilt, right? That thing is, that's that thing that says, if you knew me, you wouldn't love me. If you knew the real me, if you really knew me, if you really knew how messed up these thoughts are, right? You would be like, ooh, boy. I need to back up from that. Boy. That's guilt. That's shame. And, you know, that's what the great thing about the program of recovery. The program of recovery says, it says face those things. Face that. Face the past. All those things. All those things that you've done. All those people you've hurt, all the people that's hurt you, face it. Not just face it, write it down. And not just write it down in an organized fashion and write how it affected you and write down what your part in it was. And then tell that to somebody else. Face it. Because what you resist persists. The more you try to fight the shame of your past and try to overcome the shame of your past, the more you try to overcome that, the stronger it gets. You know, it's a little like that step one. Admitted, I was powerless over my addictions and problematic behaviors. Get to that place where you're no longer resisting it. Have you been to there? Have you been there? I mean, man, I've been there. I've been in that space where, okay, I'm only going to get dope on the weekends, you know, just on Friday. I'm just going to get it on Friday. And you know, because it's all good on Friday, because I'm sleeping on Saturday. You know, I'm only going to drink beer. I'm not going to drink any hard liquor tonight. Flash forward 2 hours later. I've been to the Dope Man, and I'm drinking whiskey. Because what you resist persists. So for me, right, anger is an arrow, right? I'm thinking of this anger. Okay, I'm going to resist anger, all right? Some forms of religion would, you know, just resist it. Just stop it, you know? And the more I try to stop it, the more I try to control my anger. See, because anger has become, in my life, anger has become a tool, a mechanism for control. Because, you know, it might not look like it, you know, but I'm pretty big guy. Not that big, but I'm big, big-ish. You know what I'm saying? And so when I puff myself up even bigger and I become loud, like a peacock, right? You got to let me fly. You got to let me fly, Captain. I'm a peacock. If I become like that, I can control certain situations or people. At least I have the illusion of that. And so in some ways I've become addicted to my anger. And it's, as I'm continuing to go through this process, I'm finding this is no longer useful. This is no longer helpful. It was nice. It worked in my 20s when I was running the streets, when I was busting raps, when I was, you know, hitting them streets of Hollywood, doing shows, you know. Anger had a place. It worked. And anger may have a place still. You know, scripture says, in your anger, do not sin. You know, anger itself is not an issue. But for me, if I continue, if I take this thing of resisting anger and I stop at anger, then what I resist will persist. I resist, therefore it persists. It's just like trying to stop drinking. Just like trying to stop using drugs. Because those things had a place. If cocaine and whiskey didn't go so well together, boy, if it didn't do what it do, boy, then I probably wouldn't have got addicted to it. But it works until it doesn't. And it's the same with anger. It's worked until it isn't anymore. And so my initial response to that and to that revelation is to say, well, I got to combat this anger. And what I resist persists. And kind of the other flip side of that to what you resist persists is to get what you want. Want what you got. Boy, to get what you want. Want what you got. Can't always get what you want. To get what you want, want what you got. Want what you get. There's necessary pain in this process. There's necessary pain. My default position is to avoid pain, avoid discomfort in any which way possible. Avoid it. Get away from it. So ignore the anger. Pretend it doesn't exist. I'm not really mad. You know? Who is the me anyway? And that person doesn't really exist. And we're just energy microbes flashing about like freaking firebugs. It doesn't do nothing for me. There's a necessary pain that I must experience. And for me, it's to find what's that anger is an arrow. What's anger pointing to? You know, sometimes I've heard too, by people much more smarter than me, that anger is usually the result of some sort of fear. I'm scared of losing control. That's probably likely. And so let's take that thought process further, right? I'm scared of losing control. Because if I'm not in control, then who is? Which then points to, do you really trust God? With that higher power again, huh? Mother Hubbard. So, yeah. So there's something different, right? There's something, anger is pointing me there. So there's a gift. This is a gift. This anger is a gift because it's pointing to something. It's saying, let's get right here, right? That's shifting the narrative. That's changing the perspective on the situation. That's the divine guidance of my higher power saying, let's address this control thing. Let's address this trust thing. Another thing that comes after the anger, you know, if I interfere with an emotion and I let it and I latch onto it and I ride it, then it becomes self-pity. It becomes self-pity because I don't know why shit. It just becomes self-pity. And then I'm like, woe is me. Oh, no one understands. No one understands me. And then I'm in that self-pity, and then it's like takes forever, and it's like that smoke at the campfire. It's all on me. Now I got to wait for this shit to get off me, you know, because I can't will that into existence, at least at that time, in that emotional state. I'm not willing to. That's really what it is. I'm not willing to. I'm surely able to, right? If that which is God exists within me, through me, for me, and to me, then I'm surely able to. I just, whether or not I'm willing, that's the thing. And I'm probably not willing because I like that, right? Like I'm still getting something out of anger. I'm still getting something out of self-pity. I'm still getting something from it. And when I say I mean the I, that character I've created in the last 8 years, right? Because, you know, that character doesn't come to play, really start taking over until, you know, 8 and 9 years old, something like that. You know, I don't know the math on all that, but you know what I'm saying. There's a portion, right? And this is where parenting is so important, right? Like, there's a portion of life where that ego is just useless, and so as a child, it's not really. It maybe is being developed, you know, but it's not as control as empowered as it is. Especially for me as an addict, it gets, man, that thing, that character, you know, because I build that character again because I'm trying to resist what's persisting, right? These pains, these things that happen, right? All those little traumatic experiences, you know. That which you resist persists. I have a bullet point here. It's Jesus's third way approach. I think the reason why I put that down is because there's a, you know, we've heard of the turn the other cheek. That's the kind of popular thing, turn the other cheek. And, you know, most people kind of think that's just like let people just whoop up on you, you know. But it's actually a form of protest, you know. If you dive into it, and I don't want to do the whole breakdown on it, but it's essentially, you know, what, because of the hand that he says they hit you with, right? And it was like a backhand. And he says, if you turn the other cheek, because if you turn the other cheek, they can't backhand you. They have to hit you like that. And if they hit you open-handed back then in that culture, that was like them hitting you like an equal. But if they backhanded you, that's like them hitting you like you a chump. You lower than me. So turn the other cheek is a protest. It's a form of protest. Because that what you resist persists, right? That which you resist persists. So don't resist it, you know, but you shift it. And it's like I said, necessary pain. You're still going to get slapped twice. So it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. But you got to go through that, you know? And maybe you don't get slapped twice. Maybe that second slap never comes because they're like, I'm not going to hit you like an equal because that would put shame on me. You know, that whole society was based on a whole different kind of, you know, value system. It was different. It wasn't like we are today. Because that what you resist persists. You know, I don't even want to pretend to know what I'm doing. I know where I'm at with this process. I know what that which you resist persists. I know what that means to me and how that works for me. And I wanted to share that because I want to be useful. You know? Happiness is a function of acceptance. Happiness is a function of acceptance. And I surely do desire to be in a position of acceptance today. You know, Friday was a great day, but it didn't turn out how I planned. It wasn't like I thought it was going to be. And I had to battle. It wasn't dramatic. I'm just using an example, you know, but it's like I had to say, okay, I'm accepting it. You know, I've done my best today. Do your best. Right. Do your best. That's all you can do. Anger is an arrow. It's pointing me to something else. And if I was to take the stance and the approach of dealing with my anger by attacking the anger, trying to rid myself of anger, I'm feeding that beast of anger, you know? I'm feeding it. And, you know, that's all. You know, it's just going to turn into more anger. You know, or not necessarily. It might not. It might work, actually. It probably would work. But what I'm doing is I'm building more ego. I'm building more ego in response and trying to not address where anger is pointing me. And I'm trying to just, like, you know, not address those things and just deal with the anger itself. What's ultimately happening is I'm building more ego. I'm building more stories. You know, like Baba Ramdas says, right? I begin to build more story. You know, don't believe the hype. Don't you know how important I think I am? Don't you know? So, you know, that's really kind of what I have, you know. I don't really know what else to say, you know. I'm trying to think of exit music, actually. That's what I'm doing right now. Yeah. That's it, I mean. That which you resist persists. So today, my friends, my brothers and sisters, you know, where is the divine leading you? You know, everything is spiritual on one level, on all levels, really. But for now, let's just sit with that thought that on some level, everything's spiritual. It might be easier to grasp. And so anything you're dealing with today can be reframed that the divine is leading you desires to lead you to the most whole and complete version of yourself that you can be during your time here on earth. And to face it. And to know that you're not facing it alone. Which is what I love so much about my faith of Christianity. Because it tells me that God is in me. It tells me that I am both human and man and God. Those three things, but you know what I mean. It tells me that God is in me and above me and before me and behind me and beneath me. It's all around me. I bet you didn't know that about Christianity. Some of y'all didn't know that, but that's really what it is. That the revolution is there is no separation no more. That's what the cross resembles. There is no separation between you and the divine. There's none. You have access. You have access to it. It's there for you. For you, to you, and through you. So whatever pain that you have to face today, whatever it is, maybe it's the pain of not picking up dope. Maybe it's the pain of picking up the 300-pound phone and making a call to somebody and tell them about your feelings. Maybe that's what it is. Whatever the pain is that you have to face today, face it. Because you're not alone. It's necessary pain. And the other side of that, right? The other side of that pain is surrender, is acceptance, is happy, joyous, free, is the possibility of a deeper, more connected life with God and others. And it's worth it. It's worth it if you work it. If you work it, work it, work it. If you work it. So be blessed today. Got number love for you. Message us if you're in need of someone to talk to. Hit the website up, mosthighmedia.org. Message us if you need a meal. If you're getting to that point, right, where unemployment's not coming in or maybe it's not cutting it and you're looking at paying bills or eating, and you ain't even got to be at that point. If you're at a place where you need a meal and you need to eat, hit us up, message us. We got ways to get food delivered to your door. All right, Joe.